ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 13 चैप्टर एंटाइटल रवगुना कन्वर्जेस विद जड़ भरत टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 क्वचित् क्षीणदनस्तु तस्मिन् शय्यासनास्थान विहारहीना याचन पराद प्रतिलब्ध कामा पारक्य दृष्टि लभते वमानम्। ट्रांसलेशन। ऑन द फॉरेस्ट पाथ ऑफ मटेरियल एग्जिस्टेंस समटाइम्स अ पर्सन इज विदाउट वेल्थ एंड ड्यू टू दिस डज नॉट हैव अ प्रॉपर होम बेडिंग और सिटिंग प्लेस नॉर प्रॉपर फैमिली एंजॉयमेंट। ही देयरफॉर गोज टू बेग मनी फ्रॉम अदर्स बट व्हेन हिज डिजायर्स आर नॉट फुलफिल्ड बाय बेगिंग ही वॉन्ट्स टू बोरो और स्टील द प्रॉपर्टी ऑफ अदर्स दस इज इंसल्टेड इन सोसाइटी। पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। द प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ बेग बोरो और स्टील आर वेरी अप्रोप्रिएट इन दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड। वेन वन इज इन वॉन्ट ई बेग्स बोरोज और स्टील्स। If begging is unsuccessful, he borrows. If he cannot pay, he steals. And when he is caught, he is insulted. This is the law of material existence. No one can live here very honestly. Therefore, by trickery, cheating, begging, borrowing, or stealing, one tries to satisfy his senses. Thus, no one in this material world is living peacefully. One time, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was in Kolhapur and he was giving a lecture and suddenly he dropped a bomb. He told all the men in the audience, "So all of you young men, imagine the most beautiful girl in Kolhapur. She becomes your wife. How will you feel?" And everybody blushed. The men were wondering what to reply, what to say. And they were looking at Maharaj very nervously. And then Maharaj clarified. He said, "Well, if the most beautiful girl in Kolhapur becomes your wife, you will be most miserable. Because everybody else in Kolhapur will then become your enemies." So the point he was trying to make, he emphasized, is that in this material world, even if you get the best of everything, you will be miserable. And we see in today's purport also, Jada Bharat, as he's instructing Maharaj Raghuna, is emphasizing on this point that you can never be peaceful in this world. It's not possible. And he's giving figuratively the forest of material world. He's comparing the material world to a forest. And he's saying how in this forest there are plunderers, who are compared to the six senses, which are constantly bombarding us. And then Jada Bharat also says that there are carnivorous animals in this forest, like jackals, lions, wolves, which are all compared to relatives, wife, husband, friends, like that. And all of them together, what are they doing to the hapless living entity who is trapped in this forest? They're all sucking his blood and they are torturing him. And Jada Bharat also says that there is a black hole in this forest covered with grass, a pit into which a Grahamedi falls and perpetually suffers because of various kinds of attractions which enamor him and then bewilder him. Also, Jada Bharat explains that how a person becomes victim of so many desires in his heart, and because of all these desires, he works hard, but never gets any happiness. We also hear about how once one donkey was working very hard for a master, whole day carrying load. So his another donkey friend came and said, "My dear donkey friend, why are you working hard for this master? Because you are anyway going to get only a little bit of grass. And there is plenty of grass outside Stop working for him. You'll get plenty of grass outside. So this donkey said, no, no, my dear friend, you don't know. I have very good career prospects here. So his friend said, what career prospects you have? So this donkey said, I overheard our master chastise his young daughter one day. That you stupid girl, you don't behave properly, you are doing this mistake again and again. Next time you make this mistake, I will get you married to our donkey. So I am hopeful that one day that will come true. So this example is given, this analogy is given to explain how this is the condition of the hard-working materialist. His hopes for happiness is like a donkey's hope of getting married to a beautiful girl. And also we are seeing that in today's verse, particularly this point is emphasized, that man tries many things but is not peaceful. I remember a few weeks back, Shikshastak Prabhu gave a very graphic description of the plight of Chitraketu Maharaj. He was actually a crorepati. He had 1 crore wives. And still he was most miserable. He was not at all happy. In fact, some devotees after that were calculating. They were saying that if Chitraketu had 1 crore wives, and if he enjoyed with one wife in one day, he doesn't look back again, just has only one wife to enjoy, and if he enjoys for a period of, say, 24 to 48 hours, if he spends time with only one wife, it will take him at least 50,000 years simply to finish enjoying with each wife only once. That means every day he had variety of enjoyment. Still he was most miserable. Because this is the nature of the mind. Mind will convince us that, my dear friend, you are not satisfied. Even if you have everything, the mind will tell us, you don't have this. That will be that one unfulfilled desire which will make us most miserable and which will keep haunting us. And as a result of this, we are not peaceful. Just like when we are very hungry, the only thing that can satisfy us is food. And when you are very thirsty, sometimes somebody might give nice juice or nice cold drink. But when you are very thirsty, you know, that is thirst of water. Only that water can quench that thirst. Similarly, this nature of this desire is like that. Some specific desire, it keeps bombarding us. That is the nature of desire. It seeks fulfillment. And even if you fulfill that desire, there is no peace. Like sometimes some people are haunted by ghosts. And when they are haunted by ghosts, for some time the ghost doesn't haunt. Then again suddenly, unexpectedly, the ghost haunts and keeps torturing that person. Like in one of our satellite centers, in one place, one devotee was haunted by a Muslim ghost. And again this ghost would tell him. Suddenly this man would start shouting, Allahu Akbar. And suddenly he would start running around. He would be completely bewildered. And he would be normal, and suddenly sometimes the ghost would haunt. This is the nature of the desire. We think we are peaceful, suddenly the ghost of desire haunts us. It keeps bombarding us. So we see Chitraketu Maharaj had one son, he got finally, Harsha Shok. It's actually a very deep point. That any enjoyment we get, anything that causes us Harsha, happiness, that same thing also causes us distress. Because the nature of the mind is that any sense object that can give us maximum happiness only as long as we don't have that object. That is, as long as we are enjoying that object in the mind, we experience lot of peace and happiness. We feel very happy. But once we get that object, we are most miserable. I think Radha Gopinath Prabhu was saying a few days back in his Bhagavatam class that you might be walking very peacefully in a garden covered with beautiful grass, forests, everything is nice, but suddenly one thorn will prick your feet and you will be most miserable. For like this in this world, whatever arrangements we make, we will be miserable. And today, we have a double problem. One is mind is disturbing, our desires are never fulfilled. On top of it, we are all products of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means anyway misery. In the very first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages who have assembled at Naimisharanya, they are explaining to Suta Goswami, Prayena Alpa Yusha Sabya कलौ अस्मिन् युगे जना मंद सुमंद मतयोर मंद भाग्य उपद्रुता. अल्प आयुष, नॉट ओनली देयर लाइफ स्पैन इज लेस. कलौ अस्मिन् युगे जना, दिस इज द वे कलियुगा पीपल आर. मंद, दे आर लेजी, दे आर नॉट इंटरेस्टेड इन स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ. सुमंद मतयो, दे आर मिसगाइडेड. एंड मंद भाग्य, दे आर बेसिकली अनलकी पीपल. मंद भाग्य उपद्रुता, उपद्रुता मीन्स दे आर ऑलवेज डिस्टर्ब्ड, दे आर नेवर पीसफुल. एंड श्रील प्रभुपाद इन दैट पर्पोट ही एक्सप्लेन्स हाउ द मेन रीजन वाई पीपल आर डिस्टर्ब्ड इन टूडेज डे एंड एज इज बिकॉज ऑफ एन इरेगुलर हैबिट्स एंड इरेगुलर लाइफ स्टाइल. ओवर ईटिंग, ओवर सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन, ओवर डिपेंडेंस ऑन अदर्स, ऑल दीज थिंग्स सैप्स द वाइटैलिटी एंड डजंट गिव अस द इंटेलिजेंस टू टेक पार्ट इन अ स्पिरिचुअल पाथ. And thus we become victims of variety of desires which is all bombarded. And today the biggest culprit, the biggest enemy of a Kali Yuga Jeeva and giving him all false promises and desires is the idiot box, television. Now our whole understanding of this world, how this world is, what is happiness, what is success, everything, all opinions are formed. All decisions are taken, everything is influenced to a very great extent by what we see on the television screen. It has become an integral part of a person's life. And we see in every movie, everything that appears on screen, the biggest emphasis is on enjoyment. And that's why all love stories, all movies have man and woman coming together and having a great love story, and finally, after all the struggles, they get married. But they'll never have a love story of a married couple. They always have love story of a couple who are trying to get married, because they know once that happens, then there are other problems. So there's always false promises of attraction, the sense object being elusive, trying to capture a person's imagination. And the power of this television camera and these films is so powerful that even a garbage can, kachra dabba, will also look very attractive on screen. They make it look so beautiful, so attractive. And these film stars, they are always shown to be happy. But then if the film stars can give us happiness, then why is it that when people are distressed, they go to sadhus, who neither have women, who neither have money? That means all these sense gratificatory outlets, they don't give us happiness. They can't give us everlasting happiness. And the worst part, if this television convinces us of all these things being right. Like in California, they recently did a survey. 5-year-old children were asked, whom do you like the most, TV or daddy? They all said TV, majority of them. So this is the plight of modern day youth. And the worst thing is, you see everywhere, any hoarding or anything on television or movies, sexual imagery is used. Any product has to be sold, even if it has no connection with women, they will show half naked women advertising that product. So how can any person become peaceful if his entire senses are being bombarded by these things? Because the person starts linking that product to that opposite sex. He starts thinking that if I get this product, I will enjoy that woman. And then that eventually doesn't happen. And we have television serials where they show how these people are rich and they have nice cars and nice houses. And these lower middle class people watching in some chawl, they are watching this TV serial. So they start getting these ideas, oh, if I become famous, I'll get this house, I should have this. So they start, this is called a demonstration effect. They start getting this feeling that, oh, if I have all these things, I will also be glamorous, attractive, happy like them. So he starts pursuing these things which he doesn't need at all. So the essence of Kali Yuga is people keep spending money which they don't have. That is, they borrow or beg or steal, as Prabhupada says here. People spend money which they don't have. And they spend it on things which they don't need. And all this they do to impress people whom anyway they don't like. They are envious of each other. For like this, people are bombarded and they are suffering miserably. For the sages at Naimisharanya, they are expressing this worry, this sadness at this plight of Kali Yuga people. Therefore, they are telling Suta Goswami, that my dear Suta Goswami, especially Shaunaka Rishi, who is representing all the Rishis, he tells Suta Goswami that give us the essence, give us that formula by which we all can be happy. భూరిని భూరి కర్మాణి శ్రోతవ్యాని విభాగశ అతసాదో త్రయత్సారం సముదర్త్యా మనీషయా బ్రూయి భద్రాయ భూతానాం ఏనాత్మాసు ప్రసీదతి. హి సేస్ దట్ దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ భూరిని భూరి కర్మాణి, దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ వేదిక్ లిటరేచర్, సో మెనీ థింగ్స్ హ్యాపెనింగ్, బట్ వీ వాంట్ అతసాదోత్ర యత్ సారం, ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దిస్. సముదర్త్య మనీషయ, యు ఆర్ ఇంటెలిజెంట్, యు ఆర్ వెరీ లెర్నెడ్, సో యూ ప్లీజ్ గివ్ అస్ దిస్ ఎసెన్స్ అండ్ గివ్ అస్ దాట్ ఎసెన్స్. బ్రూయి భద్రాయ భూతానాం ఏనాత్మాసు ప్రఫీదతి, వీ కెన్ యాక్చువల్లీ బీ పీస్ఫుల్, వీ కెన్ యాక్చువల్లీ బీ హ్యాపీ. అండ్ దాట్ ఈస్ ద సేజెస్ దెమ్సెల్స్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్ దాట్ ఈస్ కనెక్షన్ టు కృష్ణ. ఓన్లీ కృష్ణ క్యాన్ గివ్ అస్ దట్ మచ్ సౌట్ ఆఫ్టర్ పీస్ అండ్ హ్యాపీనెస్. And the reason why these people in this world are not happy, despite having all sense gratification, is because they are simply taking care of the body. And all these sense gratificatory things, they do give us happiness. It's not that they don't have enjoying rasa. They have some rasa in that. But the problem is that it is like taking a painkiller. When you are diseased, you have two choices. Either take painkiller or take a proper medicine. If somebody takes only painkiller, what will happen? Like if somebody is having a chest pain and instead of taking the nice medicine which will treat him completely, he prefers to take a cheap painkiller. As soon as he takes the painkiller, he feels no pain. He feels, wow, this is great. This is giving me relief. So imagine somebody has chest pain and he ignores medicine and repeatedly takes only painkiller. Next time again he gets pain, again painkiller. So what do you think will eventually happen? Eventually, you will have to take more than one painkiller to reduce that pain, because that painkiller's effect will subside. So you'll have to take 10 painkillers. And eventually a time will come when that pain will be so intense that none of the painkillers will have any effect. And that time it is too late to take medicine also. So same thing, these drugs, alcohol, sex, all these things, they do give us some relief, immediate relief. So people feel, this is good. But they don't realize that this is giving me relief, but only temporary. Again, next time that it affects, we are distressed. Again, you take drugs. Again, you take sleeping pill. But how long can you do that? It's like taking a painkiller. It goes on and on and on. And because you've neglected the real medicine, a time comes when you have the best of drugs, when you have the best of sex, when you have the best of everything, still you'll be surrounded by all these things and you will die. There are so many rock stars, film stars. There is endless list of them. Recently, one Miss India, Nafisa Joseph, she committed suicide. Now, you think she didn't have access to all the facilities for enjoyment at that level? But she had to die a miserable death. Unfortunate. We have Kurt Cobain, one of the most famous singers of that Nirvana rock group. Very great. He was very popular. In 20s, he died because of overdose of sleeping pills. There was Jimi Hendrix. He is considered as the most innovative of all rock musicians. At the age of 27, he died because of over drugs. So what happened to all these people is, first time they took drugs, they were happy. They got some relief. Second time they took, they got some relief. But eventually, taking all these sleeping tablets and all these things, it didn't have effect. So there was one model, she died because of taking 25 sleeping tablets. That means first time she took sleeping tablets, she must have got some sleep. After repeated use, even after 20 sleeping tablets, she must not have got any rest. So miserable. So all the enjoyments are like painkillers. They don't actually cure the disease of the heart. Therefore, we have to take shelter of Krishna. And all these singers and rock musicians, they are also after sound. They are singing, they are vibrating some mundane sound. Because it is not Krishna, they are miserable. They don't experience any happiness. Whereas devotees take shelter of Krishna. That's why they experience happiness. Because everybody is looking for rasa in life. Everybody wants happiness. Nobody can deny this. The problem is that the materialistic people, they get rasa out of temporary things. Rasa means basically the ability of a thing to give us pleasure. So any activity we do it because we get some rasa. Like a householder, he might work hard because there is some rasa for him. Or a philanthropist might do charity work because he is getting some rasa out of that activity. some delectable. That thing that attracts us to do that activity. Like a mango, it has rasa. So we are attracted to the mango not because of the mango smell or mango's form. It is the rasa, the taste. Similarly, we are attracted to some relationship, some object of sense gratification, because that gives us some rasa, some taste. But because all these material things don't give us a lasting rasa, we are miserable. It is like chewing a bubble gum. People take bubble gum. Initially, it is very tasty. After chewing, then after some time, they keep, it's just an exercise for the jaws. There is no rasa at all. And finally, that also doesn't give anything. Then they start trying to make some bubble out of it. They make a big bubble, bigger. Finally, that crashes and completely gets stuck all over the face. Then you have to remove all of it. That's how actually material rasa is. We try to enjoy sense gratification. It sticks all over our consciousness. And we just can't get it out of our system. It's most miserable. Whereas Rupa Goswami defines Krishna as Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is a reservoir of all rasas. So when we get connected to Krishna, we experience complete satisfaction. And I was hearing one conversation which Srila Prabhupada was having, room conversation with some French Christian priests. And they were talking about many things. And after that conversation, these priests are saying, "Okay, Your Excellency, we will leave now." Prabhupada says, no, why are you leaving? Wait. I can talk the whole day. I can talk of Krishna the whole day. This is the greatest cause of joy for devotees. Why are you going?" And they laughed and they excused themselves. But we can get a glimpse of a pure devotee's consciousness. How he is absorbed in Krishna. And therefore he experiences peace. And how do we experience this Krishna in our life? Shonakarishi says there are two ways which are most potent. First is, he says, Apanna samsmritim ghoram yannama vivasho grinan tata sadyo vimuchyeta yad bhibeti svayam bhayam. Apanna samsmritim ghoram. He says this Kali Yuga is full of too much complications. Ghoram. It's a mess. Apanna samsmritim ghoram yannama vivasho grinan. Only hope is Naam, Krishna's holy name. Even if we chant unconsciously, tata sadyo vimuchyeta, it immediately gives us relief. Yad bibheti swayam bhayam. Fear personified is afraid of holy name. So holy name will remove all this fear and anxiety from our heart. So first solution, Shonakarishi says, is holy name. And second, he says, my dear Suta Goswami, you are the best person to speak Krishna Katha, because Yat Pada Samshaya Suta Munaya Prashamayana Sadhyo Punantapas Prishtha Svardunyapo Nusevaya. He says that Yat Pada Samshaya Suta, shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, Sadhya Punantapas Prishta, at once it relieves us of all misery, all suffering. And then he's saying, Swarduni Aponu Sevaya. Whereas the Ganges water can purify us only after prolonged use. But pure devotee is so powerful that if we take shelter of him, we can be completely purified. And this is exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gives. He says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, these two things are the only reality in this material world. Holy name and Vaishnavas. When we take shelter of holy name and Vaishnavas, we can experience complete happiness, complete peace and relief from all material hankerings. And therefore, the rishis, they tell Suta Goswami, Vayam tuna vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yashrinvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. Don't think, my dear Suta Goswami, that we'll get tired when you are speaking about Krishna Katha. Vayam tuna vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame. You are going to speak about Krishna now. We are not going to be tired at all. Because we are taking shelter of the holy name. We are taking shelter of you, who is a great Vaishnava. And in this association, we can release Krishna. And therefore, they are saying, Yes, shrinvatam rasa jnanam. When we experience this rasa, swadu swadu pade pade, every moment we will experience ecstasy. So when we have shelter of Vaishnavas, when we are taking shelter of the holy name and hearing Krishna Katha in this association, we can relish Krishna at every moment. And in that purport also Srila Prabhupada writes that the difference is when you are reading Ramayana and Mahabharata, apparently it is the same story, but each time we read it, we get new information, we get new rasa. Whereas materialistic people, they are reading new things. They hear new film songs, they watch new movies, but they are most miserable. It's amazing, isn't it? Like Janmashtami is coming up. Now we are going to discuss same Krishna story. Same Krishna killing Kamsa. It is not that we are bored, so we will change the script. We will make Kamsa defeat Krishna this year. No, we don't need to do that. Same thing. Whereas materialistic people have new movies, everything new, but still they are miserable. And we have same Krishna. But swadhu swadhu pade pade, devotees relish. Because we are chanting the holy names, we are in the association of Vaishnavas, and therefore we are relishing, we are enjoying Krishna consciousness, and we are completely peaceful. And therefore when Suta Goswami is replying to the sages, he congratulates them for their realization. He says, Munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir loka mangalam yat krita krishna samprishno enatma suprasidati. He says, sadhu, sadhu, what questions you are asking? Munaya sadhu prishtoham, your questions are excellent because bhavadbir loka mangalam. This will be the greatest welfare for the whole human society. Bhavadbir loka mangalam. Because all your questions and realizations that you are talking, it has Krishna connection. Yet Krita Krishna Samprishno, Krishna factor is there. And because the Krishna factor is there, Yenatma Suprasidati, we can be completely peaceful. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada gives an amazing explanation. He says, whole world is looking for peace. And for this peace, whole day, morning to night, they are asking questions and trying to get answers. This is what everybody is doing. Prabhupada says, the birds get up in the morning, they ask questions. Where is food? Where is food? And they come in the evening to the nest. The bees, they are asking questions. They want food. Then human being, as long as he is not sleeping, he is always asking questions and trying to get answers for happiness. Businessman is asking questions. The stock market, people are asking questions. What is the price of the share? Questions, answers. Questions, answers. Prabhupada then gives the example of a student. He goes to school, asking questions. Teachers, asking questions, getting answers. Legislators, same thing. Politicians, same thing. Media people, questions and answers. And Prabhupada says, so like this, whole day, millions and millions of questions are being asked and millions of answers are being given, but nobody is happy. Because none of these questions and answers are relating to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna and Krishna's remembrance and chanting of Krishna's names is the most purifying. We say, Oma Pavitro Pavitro Va Sarvavastam Gatupiva. Yes, Maret Pundarikaksham Sa Bhaya Bhayantara Shuchi. So when we remember Krishna, the lotus-eyed Krishna, then we are relieved of all pangs of material existence. So devotee always sees Krishna's hand everywhere. When Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, he was sitting in the garden and devotees bought, it was a little cold, so devotees bought a blanket for Prabhupada to sit. Prabhupada said, no, I don't need the blanket. I am sitting on Krishna's lap. Very spontaneously Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada could see that he could perceive Krishna's presence everywhere. Then a light breeze blew, which was very comforting. So another devotee bought a blanket. Prabhupada said, I don't need blanket. I am feeling Krishna's embrace now. For like this, a pure devotee, because he is absorbed in Krishna, is always happy. And thus, he is relieved of all this suffering and anxiety. But many devotees have practical problem. They say, we are chanting Hare Krishna. We are in association of devotees. But still, Krishna consciousness appears to be sometimes a burden. And whatever rasa we are talking, it all appears theoretical. Because whatever ecstasy we experience is only in terms of when we finish our rounds. Like one devotee was saying, as I complete my 15th round and I'm about to start my 16th round, I start getting ecstatic symptoms. I want to finish off my rounds, I get relief. So it becomes a burden. So why is it that despite knowing all this and despite practicing Krishna consciousness, devotees suffer from the same problem as a materialistic person? They are also not peaceful. They are also in anxiety. So one Prabhupada disciple was explaining that The reason is that we have the same problem what a materialistic person is having. What is the root cause of problem for a materialistic person? Wanting to be the enjoyer. So a devotee, despite having holy name, despite having association and despite having katha, is not able to experience peace and happiness because of this desire to be an enjoyer. Like Srila Prabhupada writes in one of these purports, the first canto which I was speaking just now, that Krishna is our most intimate friend, he is our most intimate lover, he is our best well-wisher. Because we forget that Krishna is the enjoyer, as devotees also we forget. Because we forget that Krishna is the enjoyer, we create so many causes of anxiety. So many times we preach to people that Krishna is the enjoyer. And one example which all the preachers give all the time, we quote that, Yata taror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujopashaka. If you simply water the root, all the branches are satisfied. If you feed the stomach, all the parts of the body are satisfied. We give this example n number of times, but actually this is the secret formula for happiness. Because the verse says that if you give pleasure to Krishna, you also be happy. So if our devotional activity is in the mood of giving pleasure to the devotees or Krishna, for the enjoyment of Krishna, then we will also experience happiness. Because this is two things which Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Phejas are saying. Holy name and service to Vaishnavas. So both holy name, chanting, if when we are chanting Hare Krishna, if our mood is, this is for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Oh Krishna, this is for your pleasure. So if it is an offering of love for a service to Krishna, and if service is also an offering of service in love, then that gives happiness. Because the limbs and the twigs have to be nourished when the center is nourished. Therefore, to the extent a devotee gives pleasure to Krishna, Krishna fulfills our heart also. So therefore, sometimes devotees say, but I'm not able to please devotees. Actually, in the final analysis, it is not even our activity that matters. Ultimately, it is our desire that matters. A devotee who nurses a sincere desire to please Krishna through his service, through his chanting, he will also experience this bliss. But unfortunately, what happens is we have a personal agenda. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in one recent Bhagavatam class that we have this desire to be an enjoyer, very subtle. We want name and fame. So what happens is, it gives us relief, it gives us titillation to the mind. But actually, he was saying, it is a burning burden of the heart. It's a big burden. It keeps burning our heart. And it keeps us agitated, and we start feeling, I am also like a materialistic person only. Why I am not happy? Because we are also wanting to be enjoyer, so we naturally can't be happy. And this name, fame, this is temporary. After a few days, nobody will remember what nice kirtan you sang or what nice class you gave. But because of planning for all that, that affects our service and our chanting. And unfortunately, it takes us so much away from Krishna. That one day of thinking for our own self-aggrandizement takes us so far away from Krishna. I was reading one conversation of Srila Prabhupada. And there Srila Prabhupada is talking about how a living entity is trying to be an enjoyer, and is suffering. And then Prabhupada says, but a devotee is also, like a materialistic person, is manipulating matter. Materialistic person is manipulating all the matter, but is using it for his own enjoyment. Then Prabhupada says, devotee is also manipulating matter. Prabhupada is in the temple hall, I think. So he was giving the example. Look at this temple hall. This is all manipulation of matter. But here, because the focus is to give pleasure to Krishna, therefore, it is not entangling. And it is giving us happiness. Like, in this material world, since we are small children, we are encouraged to do everything for our own enjoyment. Like a child is born, his mother is going to school. I remember this because we all have gone through this. Small children, when they go to school, the mother will come, tie the shoelace, put a nice shirt, put the chapati in the mouth. The child just has to sit. And then he runs off to school. Actually, this is what Gopas, Gopis, Mother Yashoda, everybody is doing in the spiritual world. Decorating Krishna, giving food to Krishna. Krishna is the center. But because we want to be the enjoyer, we want to be decorated, and we want to enjoy, we'll end up creating such a big complicated thing for ourselves. So Radhanath Maharaj was, I think, once saying that we might dress the deities, but we might actually be dressing our own false ego. Because we want ourselves to be the enjoyer. I remember reading one interview many years ago about this one chairman of Nirma company. And the whole interview is saying how I was very poor, then I did this, then I became rich. The whole interview is talking about how I made it big. So naturally, everybody is thinking like this. So naturally, they will not be happy because the center is forgotten. The root is forgotten. Naturally, we will not be happy. So therefore, a devotee always is conscious that it is for Krishna. In 1971, when Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, they had just made the plans for construction of the Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. And they had made all plans that Prabhupada, they will be making a nice house for Prabhupada. And then the temple construction will begin. So then this plan was made. And after some time, devotees again met and they spoke to Prabhupada. And they said, Prabhupada, we'll make a nice house for you, like this. And Prabhupada showed complete disinterest. He said, I don't need any house. Devotee said, Prabhupada, but it's already in the plan. I don't need anything. Make Radha Madhav temple. Make Chandrodaya Mandir first. But they said, Prabhupada, where will you live? Prabhupada said, I live in a small hut. I don't need anything. Then the devotee understood Prabhupada's mood. Because the whole thing was presented as that it is for Prabhupada. It's for Prabhupada's pleasure. Prabhupada completely was not interested. Then the devotees, Narnarayan Prabhu and others, they presented it in a different way. Prabhupada, see, it is for Krishna's pleasure we are doing. Krishna will be happy if pure devotees are honored. And we will be honoring the whole Guru Sampradaya like this, if we make a house for you. So when they presented it like this, that it is for Prabhupada because Prabhupada is serving Krishna, then Prabhupada immediately showed interest. He said, okay, okay. No, you can make house. So therefore, we have to make Krishna the center of our lives to experience that peace, that happiness. Isurina Satsarup Maharaj writes in Japa Reform Notebook that we suffer from the same problem as the materialistic persons. Materialistic persons, their misfortune is that they don't know that Krishna is the enjoyer and they keep enjoying. And our misfortune is we know and we keep making the same mistakes. And therefore, we are not able to relish the chanting of Hare Krishna. And the result of all this wanting to be an enjoyer is eventually we start having two problems. Problems with the holy name as well as with the association of devotees. With the holy name, the problem is when we are chanting, our focus is on everything other than the holy name. As one devotee was saying, I think Devamrut Maharaj was saying once, that we have revenge fantasies when we are chanting. That how this devotee did like this. We perceive being victimized. We perceive having been judged wrongly by others. And whole concentration during japa period is on different devotees, different problems. And regarding service, there the problem happens because Krishna is not the center and I am the center, we start fault finding. We start finding faults. And both these activities make us lose all taste for Krishna. So we land up wanting some object, sense object or some position, and to get this object and position we start using Vaishnavas. Actually we are supposed to be not loving these objects and possessions or position. We are supposed to be loving Vaishnavas, and in order to render loving service to Vaishnavas, we are supposed to be using all these objects, these positions. But exactly the opposite happens when we forget the goal, the purpose of our service. His great Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was also saying this point, that we start giving more importance to our standing in the institution rather than the purpose of the institution. The purpose of this organization is to make us humble servant or servant of Krishna. But we become more interested in our standing here. What is my position? Therefore, what ails us? What is our biggest problem here? This envy. Icha dvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata. Envy, basically, simple definition of envy is when we want. In fact, this envy is explained very beautifully by Prabhupada in the previous purport, which Gaur Gopal Prabhu gave a very nice class on Sunday on this point. For this envy basically is when we desire to possess an object or position that is enjoyed by someone else, when we want that is envy. Like somebody is giving very nice class, oh, how I wish I could do that. Or somebody is leading good kirtan, we imagine ourselves to be doing that. That is called as envy. I remember when we were small, Onida TV was very famous. That advertisement was very famous. They would advertise it as neighbor's envy, owner's pride. But in devotional service, envy is no cause for joy. It is a great burden. And generally when we hear stories of Srivast Thakur and that Gopal Chapal, he put all those obnoxious tantric things outside his house. So when we hear all this and we hear this is envy, we start thinking, achha, this is envy, then I am not envious. Because I will never do something like this. We will never go about doing something bad. We will never go and harm devotees. We will never break their lockers. We will never do such things. So we start thinking that I'm not envious because I won't do something gross like this. But for devotees, envy actually manifests more subtly. We can know that we have envy by the simple fact that we don't feel joy when others are being glorified. The very fact that when others are doing very well, we start feeling insecure and threatened. Oh, he's doing very well. And we might not pray to Krishna that this devotee should fall down, but deep within we are wishing, at least let him come down little. Let him make some mistake. That some wish is there. That is actually envy. And the root cause of this envy towards devotees is, this envy towards devotees is rooted in our envy towards Krishna. Because, Edyad vibhuti matsatvam, srimad urjitam evava, tatta devabhi gachatam mama tejomsha sambhava. Everything is coming from Krishna. And so all these good things that a devotee is doing is coming from Krishna. And therefore, we start envying devotees. And we start feeling that Krishna is giving him so much mercy, we start feeling insecure. We don't realize that if Krishna is giving him a lot of mercy, it is not that Krishna's stock will reduce. It is not that if Krishna has given him mercy, he can't give us mercy. Like in office, if one person gets promotion, the other person might not get. But here, it is not like that. If one person comes first, it is not that others cannot come. Krishna is unlimited. He can give same mercy to us also. So therefore, there is no cause for feeling envious of anyone. And therefore, because of this envy, we start finding faults to such a great extent and we start disliking devotees to such a great extent that one devotee was telling me that because of his introspection, a lot of introspection, he overcame this problem. But he was saying that at one point of time, he was not liking one devotee simply for the fact, because of the style, his style of eating prasad. He couldn't stand the way this devotee was chewing prasad. He couldn't stand the way this devotee was offering dandavats. He didn't like this devotee's tilak. So this is the extent to which our mind can torture us when we start looking at devotees externally. Therefore, the solution, the acharyas have prayed in different prayers, is that first thing is to accept that we have this problem. It takes a lot of courage and humility to accept that we have envy and we are not making Krishna as the center. And then Prabhupada writes in first canto purport that if we make kingdom of God as the goal, if you are aware that what is the goal, then there will be no cause for envy in the heart. We will be very, very happy in Krishna consciousness because we don't know the goal. And also Radhanath Maharaj was saying in one class that devotees should always remember that we are on a life support system. We are in the ICU. And this life support system is a support system of causeless mercy. So if you always remember how we are dependent on causeless mercy, how can we ever become envious? There will be no cause for envy. And therefore, and Gaurupal was also saying that we have to pray and we have to glorify and serve the devotee whom we are envious of. So when we do all this and when we intensely pray to Krishna, we can also overcome this disease of envy. And therefore, we can also experience this taste of Krishna consciousness which is eluding us. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanand.